probably because of 24/7 news services on cable television and internet and Facebook and everything that's out there. As soon as someone says or does something wrong, everybody jumps on it. Look what he or she said or did. And then the messages go out all over the place, and it's all over the world. Today's gospel has the Pharisees pointing a finger at a woman who was caught in adultery. In actuality, the Pharisees aren't that concerned that this woman was committing an adulterous relationship. They wanted to use it as a means to really point their finger at Jesus. It's a gotcha moment. We got him. From the book of Deuteronomy, the law states that both the man and the woman are to be stoned if they are caught in the act of adultery. Now, the scripture says that they caught her in the very act of adultery. Well, if she's there, then it must be there is a man there. So why wasn't he pulled in front of Jesus? So it's really not about the sin. It's how does Jesus relate to it? Under Roman law, the Roman occupying government in Judea allowed the Jews to live by their own rules, but they were not allowed to use capital punishment. And that's why in a couple of weeks, we'll hear the Pharisees bringing Jesus before Pilate and telling him, we cannot condemn him to death, you only can. So if Jesus is saying, let's stone the woman for being unfaithful to the law of Moses, well, then they got him. He's a traitor. We got him now. But if he says, no, don't stone her, well, then he's unfaithful to the law of Moses. He's a fraud in who he's pretending to be as a representative of God. We got him. So Jesus doesn't say anything. We're told he bends down and writes something on the ground and then says, those who without sin cast the first stone. We're not told what Jesus wrote. I kind of wonder, was he writing the names of sins that those who stood around him had committed? Because none of us want our sins broadcast across the whole world. So Jesus is asking, is she ready to forgive? Is she willing to move on from this sin? Move on. Doesn't downplay the sin, but now go and sin no more. It's not about finger pointing here. It's about the mercy of God, because that's who Jesus came to bring. Scripture tells us that we're called to speak to people who are maybe in a lifestyle or an action that is sinful, but in a private and charitable way, to help them to lead away from sin and to return to God's grace and to live in that light. It's not my job to drag them through the mud and put them in front of everybody so we can speak very cruelly against them. But in all honesty, I'm sure I have done that at some point in my life. So the gospel reminds us that sin is sin. It's inexcusable. But in humility, to acknowledge our sins and approach Jesus in the great sacrament of reconciliation, there we find the mercy and grace that we need to live in the life that God has called us to by our baptism. As St. Paul reminds us in our second reading this morning that we can't look to the past, but we're reminded of our future. We can't dwell on the sins. Once we confess them, then we have a future with Christ. If we stay in the past with our sins, we're doomed. But if we bring to him our sinfulness, asking for grace and mercy and strength, we have that hope in that future day ahead of us where we are united with God the Father always. In the Lord's visit to St. Faustina in the 1930s, Jesus told her that he wanted people to recognize that it was his mercy that was his greatest attribute, not condemnation, but mercy. I recommend that in these last 2 weeks of Lent, that we look at our hearts, and if there's something standing in the way, there's old things that we've been carrying around with us, then let's bring that to the Lord in the great sacrament, to turn to him in trust that he is one who is willing to free us, who calls us out of sin and to live in his grace. We should also be praying for the conversion of all sinners, which is the whole human race, to turn away from those things that are offensive to God's love and justice, and to come to bring our presence into the Lord, who loves us constantly. And there we will find the true presence of what we need in our life, not what we hope for is something passing, but something that is eternal, something that only God himself can offer to us. And so we throw ourselves on that great mercy and ask for that for ourselves and for the entire world.